pumping money everywhere. You can donate millions of dollars annually to solving a problem without ethical leadership, a leadership of integrity. Nothing will be achieved. And what would happen is that you throw money and throw money at it, and the problem now becomes a money-making venture for many people. Across the Fourth Republic, before I came here, I tried to scan through a number of the promises of the various governments as far as WASH is concerned. And we see increased spending, increased spending, increased spending. The Honorable Kokofu repeated that right here, but we beg to differ. It is not about increased spending, but it is about a leadership of integrity that is able to do what it says it will do. And so without that missing link, both what my good old friend Dr. Otukono said and everything would end up not achieving much. And the evidence of that is in our failure across both President Mahama and the NDC and Alhaji, represented here by Honorable Kokofu, to fight Galamsey head on. If you cannot protect your water bodies, if you cannot protect where you get your water from, I was born at Enyinem. I schooled at a Wakwa State College, Chebbi. Three major rivers take their source from the Etiwa mountain range. In 2006, I was in high school when that mountain range was designated a World Heritage Site because of its biodiversity richness. Today, I visited my school, which was bordered by the Brim River, and the river is non-existent. It's all now holes and patches of brown water. When you watch that kind of pillaging to happen, whether you're NDC or MPP, ab initio, you have failed. So until we can do that, there is no end to standing here and saying that we've distributed dustbins and all of that. If you distribute dustbins and people do not have access to safe drinking water, you've done nothing. Because at the end of the day, all hygiene is water. Water is hygiene, water is sanitation. So if you fail to protect our water bodies, you have failed up in issue. Before we go into all the other lofty ideas and policy, and this is the firm belief of the Movement for Change, and the difference that the Movement for Change is bringing this year. It's a credible leadership, a leadership with a proven track record of integrity in public service. That is what every other thing will be hinged on. To specific policy lines, the Environmental Protection Agency is a very important agency for this WASH agenda. And so what the Movement for Change promises to do is to undertake a comprehensive review of it and further grant it an authority status and more autonomy to be able to do what it says it will do. So to that end, a law will be passed. We'll go to Parliament with a bill to pass a law to grant the agency an authority status so that they will have the capacity to do what they are mandated to do. The Honorable Chairman intends to appoint a high-level policy advisor on science, technology, innovation, and climate change to the president. And this will be like the climate change ambassador of the presidency. So focal attention on that aspect. Again, we will seek to establish the Ghana National Research Fund. Climate issues, you are still understudying it. We don't fully understand it completely yet. So there's a need to increase our funding into research and allocation to climate research to be able to establish more information about it so that we can better manage it, particularly localized research. We understand that it's a global phenomenon, but it has 8 nuanced local manifestations. And we need to increase research into that to ensure that we understand exactly how it is impacting our local environment and how we can deal with that. Again, within 2 years, and here I stress, within 2 years, eliminate Galamsey. Within 2 years, Alan Chematin promises to eliminate Galamsey from Ghana. It started from 2013 all the way through to 2016, 2017, no government came. And to that promise, The law that was passed in 2022, LI-2462, that allows mining in forest reserves will be revoked. Will be revoked completely. Because when you have an illegality occurring, it is the mark of irresponsibility to now use law to legitimize the illegality. And that is what was done in 2022. And the parliament, which is comprised almost on equal part between the NDC and the NPP, should bow its head in shame for passing that law, LI-2462. Our forest reserves have been with us for years, since colonial times. And so because of the lack of leadership, when an illegality is occurring, because a forest reserve, there should not be anything like mining, not prospecting, nothing in a forest reserve. It's a reserved area. So when you now have failed to fight it, to stop it, you go to parliament. And between the MPP and the NDC, they agreed and accepted to now legitimize the illegality. To this end, I think the dialogue should end, because it means that there is, as far as both parties are concerned, they have already demonstrated their lack of commitment to dealing with this particular issue. Develop and implement a new business model for dealing substantively with illegal mining by facilitating the establishment of small-scale mining companies to be owned by groups of young people who are currently engaged. The most important thing to do is look at the situation. Can we have this group of young people who need to be part of the economic activity anyway? Set up cooperatives, properly regulated, and now given allocations, supported technically with business management and everything with the necessary resources to participate in responsible local mining. So that they don't feel dispossessed by the Newmonts and all these big firms. That is what we need to do. And just for the records, our third largest foreign exchange earner, cocoa, has been suffering because of this menace. This year, we are projected to do less than half what we were able to do in 2021, just about 500,000 metric tons. And that even we may not be able to hit. So this is the effect that this menace is having. Again, undertake a comprehensive review of all legislation in respect of the mandate, management, and operation of institutions in the natural resource sector. Just like corruption, and sometimes you have so many organizations, so many institutions with similar mandates. So at the end of the day, what happens is that they play chaskele with the issue. This one bounces it off to this one tosses off to this one, just reneging on responsibility. Alan Chemartin says, we will conduct a review and harmonize the provision so that if it is EPA, empower EPA a singular responsibility to take the problem and to handle it. That clarity of policy, we believe, is very, very important in dealing with that. Enforce existing legislation and regulation in respect of land use in Ghana. Sanitation challenges, particularly in urban areas, is due to poor land use regulation. I grew up in Tema. And growing up in Tema, I could walk from Community 1, Site 19, where I was living, all the way to Community 9, light industrial area, close to the motorway. And this feet of mine will not touch on soil, because it was properly planned and paved. There were green belts between Community 4 and Community 7, between Community 8 and Community 9, and these green belts were there so that in case of disaster or any happening, we'll have the opportunity to take people there. This is not what we are seeing with the development in East Legon, in Adjigano, and all the urban areas and the cities that you're living. So proper land use, so that you'll not have the situation where in Accra, there are about three major waterways to the sea from the Ekuape mountain range. So currently around Ashom and Hacho, places that were left for decades, that were serving as a reservoir that holds rainwater from the mountains and gradually releases it is full of other structures today. The engineers are here. The problem is that even in allowing development in those places, we are not regulating the development with the necessary infrastructure that would prevent disasters. So one rain and the entire city is dirty. This, the movement for change believes, must be tackled head on, and we'll do that. Lastly, finally, waste segregation and all other associated behavioral change will be championed by us. And that's why the sixth objective of Movement for Change is behavioral and attitudinal change. To that end, all schools will be empowered to begin waste segregation so that through the young people, we take that culture to their homes, and over time, before they become adults, we are very confident that we'll behave better as far as sanitation is concerned. Thank you very much. God bless us all.
Thank you very much, Courage Nubi. He was just asking me, I hope I was within time. You snuck it right in, 10 minutes and just a little in there. Please, let's put our hands together for the representatives of the political parties. We are grateful all of you have come through sharing your thoughts and the roadmap, what likely would be a roadmap for our country moving forward when it comes to WASH and climate change. In case you just joined us, it's the Joy News National Dialogue on WASH and Climate Change. The theme, enhancing climate resilience, safe and sustainable WASH services delivery. And of course, we are here at the NAT Hall. Having heard from our political parties, and Courage, you got me thinking. You know, I always contemplate this. Our parks and gardens, for those of you who know some of those spots, a lot of them are non-existent. Some have been sold. Others have been taken over by politicians. And I say it unashamedly, though the politicians should be ashamed. Parks and gardens. I've been to other countries, and you'll find in almost every community, in Brazil, in Cuba, in the West, you have a hub where people can go and play and do many different things. Recreation. Where do you find those spots? Even here in Accra. And if you do find them, you have to pay through the nose to access such places. So what are we bequeathing to our progeny, so the generations to come? What? Poison? Death? But we're all looking on. And when you talk like this, they say, oh, as for you, LI-2462, like you mentioned as well, how we frame some of our policies in our country, only God knows, but I'll leave it here. We shall now go to the next round of commentary, and we shall be hearing from UNICEF Ghana. The representative, Samuel Amakumensa, he's a WASH specialist. Mr. Amakumensa, if you're here, please do us the honors. Please, let's welcome him. You have some 5 minutes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, moderator. Distinguished participants and the audience beyond this room, in this very important forum, permit me to add the voice of UNICEF in emphasizing the importance of this forum and the fact that we are really glad to have participated and to make a modest contribution to this discussion around WASH, water sanitation and hygiene services, within the context of climate change resilience. Here, it is important to emphasize that when we talk about the resilience in terms of climate change, it isn't just the fact that WASH is key to resilience, but also the fact that to achieve resilience, our WASH services have to be resilient in themselves. It is already, we've had a lot of data and information around the situation in water and sanitation in the country, so I wouldn't further gild the lily, as they say. But here, the important thing is to mention is that already climate change is with us, the risks are rife. We're already seeing it to varying degrees across various parts of the country. We're experiencing climate variability in the area of rainfall. We are seeing more flash floods, and even the temperatures are soaring in certain areas. And all these have impacts on the population, especially the women and the children of the country. So a discussion like this is not only strategic in terms of the here and the now. We've heard that WASH has a bearing on probably 7 or 8 of the other SDGs, education, health, nutrition and hunger, even sustainable cities. But the discussion we are having here is pivotal because it has a bearing on the children of this country, and an investment in them is not only strategic now, but it is in the longer term in terms of their survival and development. Already a lot has gone on in terms of trying to address the risks through mitigation and adaptation to climate change. And our hope is that this conversation will deepen that discussion, in that the process that faces us in the next 5 to 6 months is a critical one in terms of the strategic direction of this country in addressing this issue. There are issues that need to be addressed: water safety and security, environmental degradation, even the energy efficiency in the sanitation value chain are all critical to this discussion. It is therefore important that we look to maintain an institutional arrangement that can continue to drive progress in this area, consolidate the gains made, and also accelerate the achievement of our targets. The issues that border around this include financing, include regulation, include data and knowledge management, but all these have to be driven by a functional, efficient, and effective institutional arrangement. And it's our hope that this discussion will lead us in that direction and avail the minds of our political parties in that manner, so that at the end of the day, the country will benefit from the discourse. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Amoako Mensah, the first speaker who has stuck to time. Please, let's clap for him again. But moving on from there, I'd like us now to head the way of Harold Esekwu. But before we get to Harold, let me just remind you that we are live on Joy News, live on Joy 99.7 FM, myjoyonline.com, and all our social media platforms. Up next, to deliver another 5-minute intervention, we have the Senior Sanitation Specialist, World Bank, and the WASH Lead for Development Partners in the person of Harold Esekwu. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him.
Thank you very much. I think, unfortunately for me, my colleague, who is part of the Development Partners, Amoako Mensah, has virtually said everything which I had planned to say. But I just want to emphasize on a few key points. WASH and climate change are inseparable, and for us on the development partner side, one of the things that we say is that when climate is not added to a WASH intervention, it should be an integral part of the thinking behind what you want to do. It's not that we are doing this and then how do we do something to bring climate to it. It's just like sustainability. When we are talking about climate resilience and we are talking about sustainability, it is the bedrock of the thinking of every intervention you make in the WASH sector. And so we would like to urge our political parties, as we prepare and as we plan on the side of the development partners, that let's make this an integral part of what we do,
And let us recognize that if we are talking about human capital development, it's already been mentioned, most of the SDGs will not move without water. But we want to look at development holistically, cutting across all sectors. We need to have WASH underpinning whatever is being done. One thing I like to say is that there isn't one single industry, not one, which can survive without water. If we talk about manufacturing of vehicles, it takes so much water to get one vehicle manufactured. An exercise book for a school child, the volume of water required for the paper to get that. And if you have the water being polluted, if you have the water not being in the right state, then we have a challenge. As we know, water is life, sanitation is dignity. We want to urge, as development partners, we support the government of Ghana. We have been supporting the government of Ghana before the Fourth Republic, through the Fourth Republic, through NDC, through MPP, through NDC, and back to MPP. And come 7th January 2025, whichever government is in power, we will continue to support, but we like to urge all the political parties to ensure that what they want to do, they should look beyond, not just today, but let's look into the future. Let's look at our children. Let's look at our country. Let's look at our environment and ensure that whatever we do is sustainable and it is climate resilient, so that our children will not look at us. Your children will not look at you in a certain way one day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Eseku. When you mentioned January 2025 and which party would be in power, it just struck me. Maybe we need the NGOs, the eco-friendly NGOs, to be in power. And maybe then we can deal with Galamsey and all the other related issues. Because once the politicians are there, we know what happens. Thank you very much, Mr. Eseku. Well, up next, we're going to hear from WaterAid. There's going to be a presentation by WaterAid. And you have 10 minutes for this one. Ibrahim Musa, he is head of strategy, policy, and campaign with WaterAid. Please, let's welcome Ibrahim Musa.
Thank you, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, from the political parties and sector leads, my country director, and colleagues from the WASH sector, as well as from the diplomatic corps. This is just to add to the context that has already been presented. So in some of the slides, I may be skipping because a lot has been said. In most of them, but it is just to add to the dimension of the institutional arrangement and the importance of giving attention to climate issues within an institutional framework that will promote sustainable WASH services delivery. So my presentation will highlight this, but I will emphasize on areas that have so far not been touched, because a lot has been said by previous speakers. We are talking about climate change, and previous speakers have mentioned why climate change, to the fact that they are almost inseparable within the context of our time. And so my objective here is to be speaking about what are the primary climate change risks to WASH infrastructure and services? Are we planning, supporting, facilitating, and building WASH infrastructure that will withstand some climate threats issues such as flooding, droughts, and what have you? How resilient is the Ghana WASH sector to climate change and some other objective areas? But for the first part that has already been spoken about by previous speakers, elements of climate change reflects in rising sea levels. In areas of the north where the threat is real, because of also our closeness to the Sahel, you will find manifestations of flooding. Indeed, as we speak, the five regions of the north are praying for rains to fall because the rains has eluded them. Farmers have gone to the farm, planted, the rains are not coming. So they are on their knees praying for rains to fall. But that is how climate change is close to us. Environmental degradation has also contributed to accelerate a lot of the issues that we're talking about. And the impacts of and severity of climate change will only deepen in the worst sector if we are paying less attention to the issues of designs of our infrastructure. And the senior engineers are here. I'm happy to note that one of the senior people in this room, Engineer Kobana Japon, is well placed. Engineer Harold is also here, and many others who will tell us how, can walk us through how, in terms of engineering specifications, we can do to withstand the shocks of climate change. But how is our planning for service delivery responding to that as a country and as a sector? The next slide. The outlook is also that population growth is putting a lot of pressure on water resources, economic development, and agriculture. In fact, if you look at this first, you know, column, it is deepening our understanding of the fundamental structure of the Ghanaian economy. A lot of the areas of Ghanaian economy is structured that it is climate sensitive, agriculture, energy, even water resources. So it is important to be paying attention to this. But at the same time, the manifestations of climate change is also contributing to supply of water resources diminishing. And the hydrogeologists will tell us what is happening with underground water because of drought and all that. But most importantly, the limitations of human capacity for planning and management of the exigencies of climate change can also not be underplayed. Are our institutions well prepared in terms of staff numbers, in terms of skills, in terms of tools, equipment, to work with to respond to the threat that we are faced with? But most importantly, the climate science is data-driven. It is not about too much talking without evidence. What are we doing to gather the necessary data from across the country to be able to position us? And here, we have listened to the good intentions of the political parties. But integral to this is how, come 7 January, any party leading the country will resource the institutions responsible to drive this evidence generation for us to tackle climate change. But most importantly, the last two speakers touch on it, the institutional arrangements to be able to drive this agenda. I like the point around different players playing different roles, even within the state sector. Who is responsible for what? Multiple actors playing multiple roles. Roles are conflicting, and the need for coordination very critical in our drive to climate change. The next slide. To just make some conceptual clarifications, the Ministry of Sanitation, under which we are working, did a study, and it was concluded last year. They call it the WASH Resilience Study. Thankfully, it was funded by UNICEF. This is how they capture what resilience is in that report. Ability to adapt and recover effectively when exposed to unexpected changes while maintaining consistent service levels under various stresses. And I think my country director also painted how in WaterAid we talked about climate change, and that does not sound different from the Ministry Climate Resilience Study that was concluded. But the key question is, how are we aligning the institutions of states to be able to deliver in terms of this beautiful report? The next slide. Again, in that same resilience study, this is the policy governance and institutional arrangement that has been proffered. Interestingly for us, EPA, Office of the President, Parliament, all has oversight. National Development Planning Commission, I talked about data. Environmental Protection Agency, which is supposed to be at the apex of driving policy. The ministries are there: Community Water and Sanitation Agency, Ghana Water Limited, Water Resources Commission. They are all important state agencies. Ghana Geological Survey, Hydrological Authority, Ministry of Communication, and below you will find MMDAs, Metropolitan, Municipal and District Assemblies. The National Development Planning Systems Act 480 mandates them to take planning seriously. The importance of this slide I'm painting is, how coordinated are these institutions? How coordinated are these institutions to ensure that when EPA is driving climate resilient agenda with a very clear policy direction, no other ministry or MDA is counteracting what EPA is doing? How are we responsive to coherent planning to avoid policy somersault? And that is the essence of this, with Parliament having oversight, which is very crucial. And that is what we also want to underscore. 261 MMDs are under Ministry of Local Government, providing critical services. How are these services reflective of climate resilience and responsiveness? How are they working with Institute of Planners? All of them are part of this governance equation. So this is the essence of this particular slide. Next. And so I have already spoken to this. How well is coordination among these institutions? How can we effectively promote resilient wash services delivery in Ghana? What is the role of Minister of Local Government, Decentralization, and Rural Development? As we speak now, we're lucky from 2017 to be given a Ministry of Sanitation and Water Resources. Honestly, for all intents and purposes, the ministry has done well. Coordination used to be a problem because we used to have sanitation sitting somewhere, hygiene sitting somewhere, but with a defined Ministry of Sanitation and Water Resources, at least somehow we have a clear direction with water, sanitation, and hygiene coming together. But we still have challenges with coordination, especially with other allied ministries. We are doing well with coordinating with Ministry of Health, but in terms of wash in healthcare facilities, which is critical to promoting maternal and child health, the coordination could be better. School wash could be better. And MESTI, very critical. How are we coordinating with MESTI, and for that matter, EPE, to promote harmony in terms of institutional delivery? Next slide. What is the implementing arm of the Minister of Sanitation for wash services delivery? We have advocated for the National Sanitation Authority below the national level. Ministry of Sanitation is the policy arm. If we were to have below National Sanitation Authority, just like many state agencies has authority, then that authority can have very clear defined relationship with institutions such as Institute of Engineers and what have you, and work closely with local government ministry to ensure that all the good intentions of coordination are promoted for effective and sustainable service delivery. And that has been hanging over the years. We think that come next year, in terms of institutional arrangement, National Sanitation Authority should be on the front burner. If we are not able to get it before December, it should be crucial next step come next year. Next slide. The water policy, which has just been launched by the ministry quite recently, has very good intentions for climate change. But it has